We Christians say very firmly that we believe in a God who is all good. He is all powerful. He can be nothing but all good and all powerful. He is that 100%. If that's true, then why is it so plain that there is still suffering and evil in the world? We're not the first ones to ask that question, and probably won't be the last. It's been an age-long question. Randy Alcorn has tackled it in his book called If God Is Good, and he's our guest all this week. Welcome back, Randy.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Greg.
We alluded, I think, a couple of days ago, just briefly, to a little bit of some of the answer. I think when I asked you, you know, do you believe people have free will, and is that part of the reason? Today, we're going to spend all of our time, if it's okay with you, on some of the possible solutions. You call them proposed solutions in your book to this problem of evil. And I'm assuming, Randy, that through the history of asking this question, that all of the answers sort of fit into just a few categories. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's right. I mean, there are people, for instance, who come to the attributes of God, and they propose that, well, maybe God has limited power. Maybe he has limited knowledge. Maybe he has limited goodness. Maybe he has limited love. But from the perspective of just simply the, the general unbeliever, who looks at it, it's well, there is no God. The solution is simple. There is no God, and what we see in the world is just it's just a cosmic accident. And I think those perspectives that limit God and his knowledge and his wisdom, I mean, one of those is open theism,
yep.
A belief that God knows many things in advance, but he does not know all things in advance. He does not know future contingent choices.
He's kind of learning along with us.
Yes, right? he's learning along with us, a changing God, a God sort of a process theology sort of God, an evolving God whose knowledge gets bigger as time goes on. Well, I actually address that issue in a whole chapter of its own, but you know, that ultimately is not a solution at all. What people are trying to say is, well, I don't want to believe that God from eternity past ordained a world in which he knew that my child would die of leukemia.
Yeah.
I can't trust a God like that. Well, if God doesn't have future knowledge, then it could be said, well, God didn't know that, and therefore he's not responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, once the child contracts the cancer and is dying of the cancer, even if God's knowledge were limited to the present, which is absurd because he wouldn't be God if he didn't know the future, but nonetheless, even if his knowledge were limited to the present, the fact is he knows now my child has cancer, and he could take it away at any time, unless you're saying he's not an all-powerful God. So what happens is God's attributes start falling like dominoes,
yeah,
on top of each other, and pretty soon we have tried to solve the problem of evil by revising and limiting the character of God.
Right. Let me ask you the question that I think fits here a little bit, Randy, and this is one of those questions that I think anybody who dares to verbalize it does it with a little bit of fear and trembling. Does God cause suffering?
Well, that's an interesting question, and certainly in Scripture we have emphatic statements that God does not cause evil, moral evil. You know, God did not force Adam and Eve to sin. He didn't force Satan to sin. Now, he created a world, and he created them with natures in which he knew that given the circumstances they would choose sin, but that's not the same as causing them to sin. So that sort of foreknowledge is not the same as causation. On the other hand, you have passages of Scripture that deal with suffering as distinct from evil. Suffering is a consequence of evil, but it's not always a specific consequence of evil. So the man born blind was not guilty of some specific sin, we are told by Jesus in John 9, but God had other purposes in it. We see this in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh, some physical ailment or disability that he has asked God three times to remove, and he calls it a messenger of Satan, mm-hmm, yet in the same sentence says it was given to him to keep him from becoming conceited. So who gave it to him to keep him from becoming conceited? Not Satan. Yeah. Satan would love for him to be conceited. Clearly, in that context, it is God. So he's saying it's from God, even though it was a messenger of Satan. So God uses the secondary person, individual, in this case Satan, making a choice that he disapproves of his intents, but God has a larger intent. God, you intended it for evil. God intended it for good.
I have heard Erwin Lutzer talk about, and I think he's actually quoting someone else, though I'm not sure who right offhand, Randy, but referring to Satan as God Satan. I mean, even
yes.
The devil belongs to God, doesn't he?
Yes. Martin Luther said
Luther?
The devil
okay.
is God's devil. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very important, isn't it? Because when we try to figure all of this out, we need to, at the end of the day, arrive at the point where God is still totally in charge here.
Absolutely, because otherwise our lives are destined to just become victims of the bad and wrong choices of other people, of Satan. And if you believe that your whole life can be destroyed because somebody fell asleep at the wheel of a car,
yeah.
or somebody had been drinking, and somebody did this, and somebody did that, then it your worldview is not going to be a biblical worldview that sees God as sovereign even in the midst of our pain. Now, I don't say any of that, and I repeatedly say this in the book, if God is good, we are not minimizing pain and suffering. Mm. It's very real. God takes it very seriously. God weeps with his people, and God promises that one day he's going to wipe away the tears from every eye of those who know him.
If God is Good is the name of the book. Randy Alcorn is our guest all this week, and we'll provide further information at primetimeamerica.org. Randy, thanks. We'll talk again tomorrow.